It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up on the show, we have got a situation at quarterback in New York to where now two guys are out. One guy that didn't want to play is already back in the starting lineup. What it all means. We're going to look at some history in the college football playoff. We're going to look at a big-time move made in the Big Ten that one person on this show has got a vested interest in. We're also going to talk about another coach on the hot seat and now gone in the NFL and what it means to his future, and the great Petros Papadakis stops by. All of it is yours on the Thanksgiving Eve edition of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and you right here on FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So we got ourselves a carousel at quarterback in the NFL.
Guess what day it is?
And we're going to get to it here coming up in just a couple moments
from now.
Guess
what day it is, Berto? Guess what day it is, Lee?
Wait. Guess what day it is?
I like
guess what day it is? Hey, everybody out there. Guess what day it is? Hump day!
And it is two pros and a cup of Joe here on FSR. He's LeVar Arrington. That guy's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. We are going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And as Brady likes to point out all week long, it is a holiday week here on FSR. So a hump day holiday week here on Fox Sports Radio.
Gotta
should
love
be
that.
A lot of fun.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Day before the day.
Day before the day, you know.
Day before the day. Jonas is.
Jonas.
Big
is
time.
Dead.
Yeah. Well, you guys are lucky I'm here.
Jonas's holiday is over tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, that's
If your holiday is comprised of essentially being able to sit on a commode and let it pass in 20 minutes, that's not a holiday. You know what I mean?
First of all, okay, what are you eating for Thanksgiving if it's going to pass
in 20
minutes?
I'm just saying turkey, stuffing,
there it is.
Mashed potatoes, all the fixings. You could essentially be able to spend some time on the commode, let's say twice over the next 24 hours, and your holiday is done. It's already down into the waste, just going off into the ether. If that's your holiday, all right.
By the way,
that's all you got, huh?
The only gift he has to give.
By the way, this is how you can tell whether or not, if you want to know whether or not Roberto is paying attention to the show or checking his fantasy team lineup.
You're going to hear the fart noise.
Just to make some sort of defecation joke and a fart noise.
There it is. The fart noise
played
is
on the
coming.
Air. But no, I was saying that you guys are lucky I'm here because I was nearly attacked this morning. You know, similar to Seth Rollins of the WWE was attacked. Two coyotes rolled up on me during my jog.
Those are small, bro.
But two of them, you know, two of them.
I got to tell you, some of them look like wolves.
Yeah, they're
some of them aren't as small as I would have thought.
They had balls, man. They were just cruising.
They were big.
They were cruising like, hey, man, what are you doing in our neighborhood? I was like, dude, I pay a mortgage, bro.
You know, there's like hybrid. Like there was this report going around when I lived in Arcadia about hybrid coyotes that were basically getting mixed up with like German shepherds and like mutts
German shepherds will hump anything.
So they were like, so you started seeing variations of coyotes walking around, bro. I mean, I seen one day. Oh God, I said to my son, I was like, "Is that a coyote?"
Yeah,
it was tall, it was long, and it was as furry as it gets. And let me tell you something, I was afraid of it. We needed to get protection, and because everything was in trouble.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You're supposed to be the alpha.
Yeah, I know, man.
You're supposed to be the leader of the pack.
That bad boy looked like a wolf.
That bad boy probably had a few Thanksgiving meals.
Every Wednesday, hump day is trash day.
Either that or he showed up post-race at Santa Anita and cleaned up the scraps. Mm. So there's that. if you want some good eating, that's usually a place to go. There goes our PETA sponsorship.
Yeah, there you go.
Are we sponsored by PETA?
No, I don't think they sponsor anybody.
Themselves.
With as many meat jokes as we make on this show, I don't think that's happening.
Super dope meats. Shouts out to Omaha Meats.
Yeah.
Hey, they sent me a nice little package, by the way. Hey, but listen, man, like, that's a dope hustle, though, isn't it? Like, to, like, shame everybody for fur coats and all that stuff, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the move.
Here comes cancel culture.
Yeah, that's it. I think they were ahead of the curve on all this stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, they got on everybody.
How do you get away with, like, throwing, like, baby powder and flour on people when they're walking around with their, you know, hard-earned money like, on their shoulders.
God forbid you have a tuna fish sandwich. They pull out a sod off, and it's like, okay, listen here. I'm trying to get something to eat.
God,
like, I don't understand.
God forbid you
what
have,
the hell
like,
are we talking about?
I don't know.
A furry
no
filling
idea
to your shoes that you're wearing, you know, to stay warm.
I didn't want
to
say anything.
You know what song?
I got on Uggs.
He is Ugged up right now.
I have Uggs.
You know what song I've got stuck in my head? I cannot get it out.
Oh, man, please say it's not that.
It's that song by the Eagles, like, in a New York minute.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean? Is there something going on in New York?
No, it's just about like how everything can change
segue
in a New York minute.
It's such a great segue. I mean, I knew exactly what he did. I felt you, Brady. And you know what? I wonder if Zach Wilson can make it right this time around.
I thought they didn't want to play him. Albert Breer was telling us like a week or so ago that they absolutely didn't want to play Zach Wilson. It was almost a reset. And they got a bunch of other quarterbacks there. Why would Zach Wilson be playing, Brady? What's going on?
The New York Minute with the Eagles singing is quite the sound and feel of how I feel about Zach Wilson going back in the game, too. Not crazy train.
Wait,
is he? Yeah, right? Very laid back.
Hold on a second. Is he back? Is Zach Wilson? Oh, but I thought, oh, that's right. The COVID monster arrived on the doorstep of the New York Jets. Mike White's out. Joe Flacco's a close contact. Step right up. Zach Wilson is back, ladies and gentlemen. The Zach attack is back. LeVar's guy.
Right. My guy.
Zach Wilson.
Boy, was I wrong.
Well, I don't know about your guy. I'm pretty sure we've talked to LeVar, and he's told us at length. He cast him away a while ago.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, the great thing about media is I can say one thing in a New York minute change it in a New York second.
Well, first off, you're sitting right next to someone who does it on a daily basis.
Yes. Truth. That's how I test to see if anybody's listening the whole time.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not on Zach. Yeah. I'm not in. I'm sorry.
Jonas is like that teacher, right, that like messed up the day before. I was like, no, I was just testing to see if you're listening.
Yeah. Right. Correct.
That's what I was doing, class.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah,
the new
even
audience.
They're drunk, lazy at their job. Not you, but the teacher. Yeah. The teacher we're talking about.
I hear you. Yeah. It's a new audience.
Shouts out to the teachers.
All right, let me ask you an honest question.
Break all week.
Honest question. If it wasn't the Houston Texans, would Zach Wilson be the starting quarterback, or would they just hand it over to Josh Johnson and say, Zach's still not physically ready to go?
No, I think at this point, it's not even about that. You just brought on Josh Johnson during the season. I mean, it would look bad if they knew Zach Wilson was healthy. Like, basically, if they pulled, I think at least, a Brian Flores, where Zach Wilson's dressed but not starting, right? Like, he's dressed and well enough to go in there and potentially save you in a game, but he's not, like, healthy enough to start a game. Like, that's just a bad look. So this was the last resort. It's not what they wanted to do. But I think Robert Saleh is very keen and aware of the media attention he's getting, especially with Rex drawing more to it, even though they buried the hatchet. But that's the story that's written on page 6, right? All you hear about is basically Rex Ryan absolutely kneecapping Robert Saleh. And then we hear about them making up like a week later or whatever in the back pages of the sports section. So he's focused now, I think, on trying to preserve some sort of reputation, some sort of optimism or momentum going in the offseason. And at this point, they don't have another option. Because if you put Josh Johnson out there, and if Zach Wilson's healthy or if he's dressed and he absolutely falls flat on his face, it's a bad, bad look for you as a head coach. So they got to get him back out there. They got to get him prepared. And I don't know that the Texans are necessarily the easiest team right now, at least the way they played last week, and especially with Tyrod Taylor now as the starting quarterback. So it's an uphill battle. I'll say that much.
Ugh.
I mean,
what you want to talk about, you know, I've had dreams at times in my life where the walls were closing in and you try to wake up from that dream and it's like, it is the most difficult dream to wake up from, but then you finally are able to wake up. Robert Saleh doesn't get to wake up from these walls closing in on him. He's got to deal with it. And what that looks like once they fully have come together and have squeezed him, I don't know if he survives it. Maybe there's a chance that he's able to build in New York with this team. If he doesn't, it's just like any other coach that's been there or any other coach that's coaching for this type of team and organization. They just end up going and being a coordinator somewhere else. And yeah. And it's unfortunate, because the sad reality of situations like this is that coaching careers are lost in these situations, and player careers are lost in these situations. And sometimes you get an opportunity to kind of salvage it in other places and in other ways, a different journey. But it, nonetheless, it's something that you just totally lose track of the totality of what happens when you're playing for a poor organization. And Robert Saleh will not have an answer for what's going on with his team. And Zach Wilson will not have an answer for what he has to do or what he needs to be as the quarterback of this team. And that's just the reality of it. It's unfortunate.
They've lost three in a row, all right, for the last five, since the bye, mind you. Now, their schedule has been somewhat difficult, right? Like, they lost in New England in pretty ridiculous fashion. They actually beat the Bengals, which kind of is shocking when you think about it. Like, I think, I don't know if that tells me more about the Bengals or if that's more about what their capability could be. They lose to the Colts by double digits. They lose to the Bills by double digits. They lose to the Dolphins by a tutty. I guess I'll ask you this. They're a two-win football team, okay? And as we go down through the rest of their schedule, how many more wins do you think they're going to get? And then, and think about that when I ask you this. Is Robert Saleh potentially in the hot seat in year two? They're not going to fire him after this season. But is this one of those deals that it could be like a two and done because of how year is one or how year one is gone, and maybe with the lack of development from Zach Wilson and everything else that's kind of transpired?
I don't know.
Judge is having more success in what he's done in New York, and he's in year what, three?
See, but everybody,
year two? He's in year two. He's about to be on his way
but
out.
But everybody raved about the hire of Robert Saleh. He was like the next guy, you know, he blew us away in the interview process. Like, I wonder if this is more going to go on Joe Douglas based on the situation with Sam Darnold, that handling.
Because I think that works against you. I think when nowadays, when you get so hyped up and it doesn't work out for you, I think people turn quick and it gets nasty quicker. Like, you'd almost just rather be the under the radar hire that doesn't make any headlines, and maybe it doesn't sound as optimistic, and people aren't raving about you, but people, you know, but you're just going out there doing your job. You'd almost rather be that than what he is.
To your point, I think we hear less about Dan Campbell being on the hot seat than we would Robert Saleh.
Well, and that's interesting, because when you think about Dan Campbell and you think about what's going on, first of all, Detroit plays hard.
Yeah.
Those sons of guns play some, they play hard. And not being able to win, when you look at Detroit, for some strange reason, when you look at New York and you look at the Jets, it's like, who's going to turn it around? We need it to be turned around. Whoever takes that position is under constant scrutiny, even though you know how bad the odds are. In Detroit, it's like, they're losers. It's a loser team. It's a loser situation. Yeah. Look, they're
there's no expectations.
There's literally no real expectations for the Detroit Lions, except for their fans. But from a league-wide look.
Happy Thanksgiving, folks.
It was ruined when Barry Sanders basically was like, look, man, I can't do this. I can't do it. And then now you start to realize that most all great players that have played for Detroit have a problem with Detroit in some type of way, or something took place while they were playing. Can't win. Just couldn't win. You're arguably the greatest football player to ever play. Some will debate Jim Brown. Some will debate, you know, a few others. And you left because I don't want to lose anymore. Your expectations have got to drop dramatically when you have that take place. And it's been bad ever since.
He gave up football.
Yeah. Like, done.
He just was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like,
done.
They made him hate football.
Yeah,
like,
they did.
That's a That's a crazy thing.
Well, Calvin Johnson did as well. Yeah, that is a bizarre situation. But the best part, it's not.
It's a Detroit situation.
Yeah, that's the point.
Dude, did I ever tell you Mike Martz, when I visited there coming out of the draft, was like, oh, you don't want to come here.
No, he didn't.
I swear to you. They were drafting number two overall, and we had a very candid conversation. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, this isn't a good situation. He's like, we're probably all going to get canned at some point. He was so open and honest.
Good for him, man.
That was when I met like Mike Martz. I think Adam Gase was there at the time, too. Kind of met those guys and spoke to him. And like, he was just very frank about the situation that they were in. I took that and I was like, this dude is one of the most honest dudes I've ever talked to throughout this entire process. Like, if I could have committed to go like play for him as like a college coach, I would have. Now, granted, take this into account. He was the OC, I think, heading into that year, because I was drafted in 07, and I think that was his last year there. So like, he was basically saying like, the writing's on the wall, bro. Like, you don't want to come here. I'm gonna coach you for a year, then I'm gonna be gone. So
that's crazy. You were drafted in 07?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I was done.
Yeah,
I was done.
No,
that was
you
my
weren't.
First year.
You were just getting started, Fox Sports bro. Arrington.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at Jonas.
Fox Sports Arrington.
I missed that 07 Super Bowl. I left in 06, and they won the Super Bowl in 07, the Giants did.
That's all right.
I didn't realize I was that much older than you. God dang it.
Yeah, it happens.
I'm old!
That's all right. Listen, it's radio. We can do this till we're 90. We're fine.
Thanks, Birdo.
Everything's good.
Thanks for the support.
All right, it is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, so coming up next, we had some history yesterday in the world of football. We'll tell you what it means moving forward next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR.
I was not a pro that day.
Coming up here in a little over 10 minutes from now, we are going to talk about just the cold-hearted nature of the National Football League. It is a cold-blooded business that was shown again yesterday in the NFL. We'll get to that here on FSR.
Can I just add one more thing to you know what we were talking about off air? Everybody out there, when you wake up today, I know you're probably off because, or some people are working, but if you're off because of the holidays, you know, it's just one of those things. I want you to take this into consideration while you're hanging out and doing whatever it is you're doing. Just work to be better. Like, and not just that, that's not a hard thing to do if you minimize it to just one simple thing at a time. Just work to be better. That's all.
You hear that, Roberto?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, everybody but Berto,
yeah,
you know, because, you know.
Well, he ain't going to be here next 2 days.
Yeah.
He told us to basically kiss his ass.
Hey, you go enjoy your vacation.
He'll give us the fart noise.
Let me tell you exactly what he's going to do. He's gonna cook a turkey and rifle through 16 beers while he's doing it.
Starts the day.
Yeah, and riding through 16 beers while he does it.
Baby.
He gave out his turkey recipe on the Ben Maller show.
I heard
on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates earlier. It involved a lot of butter. He looked at Lee and I yesterday, who said we didn't know how to cook a turkey, like we were a couple of horses' asses, not understanding how to. And then he shows up and says, all right, I'll see you guys later. He's out next 2 days. Unbelievable.
Peace.
Adios. Go do you, man. Go do you.
I have an idea of the technique that I would like to use to cook the turkey that we're going to make.
Oh, okay.
But I've been banned from the kitchen for Thanksgiving. I don't get to cook.
Why?
Because
she's going to do it. She's going to do it. You know, everybody gets all pumped up about how I cook at the house, but she's really the real cook. Like, she's really the real cook. It's like when she throws down, it's like you start to realize that, you know, you're just doing it.
And she's tired of you getting all the love for it.
She is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm real petty. What's real petty is, like, she cooks just as much as I do, but I only post my dishes. I don't post her. When she cooks,
yeah.
I don't post it like, look at this spread.
Good.
Like, look at the way this looks. I don't post her stuff. And she'd be looking at me like, why do you never post my food? I said, because it's yours.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. Thank you. That's it. Thank you. I love you for the food. Thank you.
It's your art.
But I'm not posting your stuff on my page.
Yeah.
Do it yourself. Well, you take the picture. You do the video and post your own stuff.
Good for
I'm
you.
Not doing it.
And you know what you should do? Just sit back, watch
Super
football,
petty.
Drink Modelo's, and just call it a day.
Pass out. Yeah. You know, I've been drinking red wine. You know, the big jug. You guys know about the big cheap jug of red wine, sweet red
Brady
wine?
Brady does. He's a big $2 Chuck guy. Big time. Big time.
You know,
cheap red
you know,
wine.
Is it bad? Is it like low class that you drink cheap wine and you drink it with ice? I like drinking red wine with ice.
Brady, I'll let you take this. Go right ahead.
I mean, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, that's not a...
That's not a way I would do it. But, you know, that's one way.
Put it this way. If I did that at his golf tournament, I'd never be invited back, ever.
Hey, I just got to be honest with you. There's a strong possibility if you see me with a cup of ice, there's going to be wine in there.
You're basically drinking sangria.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, sangria is great. I like sangria.
Put the wine in the fridge better.
Yeah.
All right.
Put it on ice.
Yeah.
All right.
Get that box wine next time.
I mean, every once in a while, you know, you just show if you're low class or high class.
There's some good box wine out there. There is.
Middle class doesn't even exist anymore, does it?
I'm more of a Camus. You guys aren't wine guys. I'm more of a Camus guy. You guys aren't wine guys.
Oh, look at you dropping names. Wow.
Glad to see we got Boogie Nights on and the final scene pops up at that moment. That's great.
Literally pops down.
That is great. I wonder what happened to that street cone. All right. And away
just,
we go.
Just try to be better, man.
Yeah, be
Pick
better,
one
everybody.
Thing to be better at.
Yeah, be better.
And be prepared for that last scene in Boogie Nights.
Yeah, my God.
And don't be around someone like Jonas.
Real
petty.
I'm just saying.
They're going to guide your eyes into the abyss.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Literally. All right. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, so
Never wear one ever again.
We had some history in the world of football. We're going to get to that coming up next. For all the latest, though, from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, this man is our Dirk Diggler. He's Eddie Garcia.
I'm not sure how to take that, actually.
Come on, Edmund.
All right, sure.
It's a holiday week,
fine,
Eddie.
Fine, I'll take it.
Fine.
Let's start off with the college football playoff rankings. There was some movement this week. Georgia still won, but Ohio State now at number 2, Alabama down to 3, and Cincinnati is at number 4. The Bearcats are the first group of 5 team to be in the college football playoff rankings top 4. Michigan, who of course plays number 2 Ohio State this Saturday, checks in at number 5. Also, a news item that somebody on the show might care about, Penn State and head coach James Franklin agreeing on a 10-year contract extension.
Penn State, baby.
I think he's happy.
I am happy, for certain.
Top 25 college basketball, big early season matchup. Number 1 Gonzaga against number 2 UCLA. But they met in the Final Four last year. It was a thriller, won by Gonzaga by 3 points. This one, not so close. The Bulldogs beat up on the Bruins 83-63, top-ranked Gonzaga with the victory. Also in the top 25, number 13 Arkansas, number 14 Illinois, and number 12 Houston in action. The Razorbacks and the Fighting Illini win, but the Cougars of Houston lose to Wisconsin 65-63. 4 games in the NBA. Knicks over the Lakers 106-100. No LeBron James for LA, serving his 1-game suspension. Mavericks over the Clippers in overtime 112-104. Trailblazers top the Nuggets 119-100, and the Heat beat the Pistons 100-92. A couple NFL notes. The New York Giants fire offensive coordinator Jason Garrett, and the Tennessee Titans waived running back and future Hall of Famer Adrian Peterson. We'll be back to the boys in a second, but first, this from Chalk.
Testosterone levels are at an all-time low. Chalk Daily is the new champion of natural T-boosters. Chalk boosts testosterone 20% in 90 days. Chalk.com is giving 50% off with code PRO. That's P-R-O on C-H-O-Q.com. Code PRO.
Now back to LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox in the Fox Sports Radio studios.
Thanks, Eddie. It's two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 15 minutes from now, it is a cold-hearted business, the NFL. We will get to the details on that. It showed up yesterday in the world of sports. We did have a little bit of history yesterday in the world of football, though. The college football playoff rankings are out, and we've got ourselves Georgia at number 1, Ohio State number 2, Alabama is now sitting at number 3 after getting jumped by the Buckeyes, and Cincinnati is in at number four this week. They are the first team from a Group of Five conference to make the college football playoffs top four. Brady Quinn, the Bearcats are making a run for the college football playoff.
They're making a run. They have been, really. This is 2 years in the making. You know, last year went undefeated in the regular season, lost to Georgia in the bowl game, but kind of, I think, build up equity within the college football playoff committee. Now, once again, undefeated and a chance to play for a national championship. The big question becomes this. Is the committee going to look at their schedule the rest of the way? Now, they got to play East Carolina this week. They're a 2-touchdown favorite in that one. That should be easy business. But in the AAC championship game, they've got to play Houston. That's a, you know, a top 25 team. That's a good football team. That's going to be a challenge for them. That'll be a lot closer, tighter game. But with those two games ahead, is that enough for them to solidify their spot at number four? They're not going to go higher than number four, folks. I'm sorry to tell you that, because there's probably going to be a one-loss conference champ or someone else in a Power Five, Big Ten, you know, who would be ahead of them at least. But here's what the College Football Playoff Committee signaled to some other teams out there. By moving Ohio State up to two, and really, if you go back and look at last week, I know Michigan State was ranked higher than Arkansas was, but the spread was about the same. Anyone who watched those two teams kind of saw that coming. And so they move Ohio State ahead of Alabama for what reason? Just because they had a more dominant win versus Michigan State in a bad matchup? I mean, the truth of the matter is they're really – I don't know that it was necessarily justified, but the committee is going to do what the committee is going to do. I think why they did that was they don't want to have Alabama in. If they don't win the SEC, all right, if they don't beat Georgia, if they don't beat Auburn this week, they're not going to be a part of the playoff. There's that theory that if they would lose a close game to Georgia in the SEC championship game, with two losses, Alabama might still make it in. That ain't happening, all right? The College Football Playoff Committee is not going to allow a two-loss team to make it in. So they're signaling to Cincinnati, hey, you take care of business, you're in. First time ever, congratulations. That's all you got to do. Win out and you're in. They're signaling to Oklahoma State, if you win out, you got a shot of being in. Because they got to play Oklahoma this week, who now sits at 10. And then if they beat Oklahoma, right, because they can't afford to lose, if they lose, you know, that they would then there would be a two-loss conference champ even if they won, so they would be out. But if they beat a top 10 team in Oklahoma, they'll play Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. That would then skyrocket them up, and you'd probably see Bama get bounced, and it would be some version of Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, Ohio State, and Georgia playing for the national championship. So a lot of things were kind of signaled last night, even though they were subtle. The bottom line is, we're going to get to see the Bearcats, you know, play potentially in the college football playoff when it's all said and done. I don't know. I'll be honest. In this case, you can make the case they're all the most deserving. I just think that Cincinnati's going to have a hard time competing with the likes of some of the big dogs.
Well, you know, one thing that we got to pay close attention to is five is playing too. You know, Michigan is on the outside looking in by one team.
Right. If they win, they'll jump up into that. Yeah,
but
if they lose, they're out.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that you got Ohio State that's going to have to win this game against Michigan. That's a big one. And then one of those teams are going to lose. That's going to make it safer because, again, Michigan doesn't break that top four. They would drop down. And then now Ohio State is still in position where they got to win that Big Ten championship, which foreseeably is going to be against Wisconsin. Yep. And we've forgotten about Wisconsin because of their rocky season. But if there's one thing you got to know about Wisconsin, they show up. And so now you're talking about if I'm Cincinnati, I am handling my business because you're talking about the fact that Alabama they're hanging by a thread in this situation. And can Ohio State maintain the dominance? And that's, to me, I'm sitting here pretty confident if I'm Cincinnati, because I'm looking at two of these teams in the top four, and I'm saying there's a strong possibility that two of these teams may have a loss before we get to the end of this season.
How does Cincinnati not get in? All right, if you want to piss off a little man. Okay, so
that's
the only way. So there's
they
no possible way.
They cannot afford to lose. If they become a one-loss, you know, it'd be a one-loss non-conference champ.
All right, let me ask you this, Brady.
Because they're not going to lose this week. It would be if they lost in the conference championship game, so they don't have that 13th game indicator, and they do have a loss. And the timing of it, considering the committee's going to come out in the next, 24, 48 hours from that game, and then they would make that decision.
But what if Michigan beats Ohio State and Ohio State wins out?
Or how's that possible? If Michigan wins
think
out,
about
you mean.
If Michigan beats Ohio State.
But Ohio State wouldn't be going then to the
Big Ten Championship?
Yeah, Michigan.
Right, Michigan would go to the Big Ten Championship. Yeah. Okay, so write it that way. If Michigan beats Ohio State, and then Ohio State is out with one loss?
No, they've got two.
They got two.
Oh, they would have
to Oregon. Yeah.
I stand corrected. There we go. They lost to Oregon. That's right.
What would be the most chaotic scene? All right, if Cincinnati loses.
The most chaotic scene would probably be, so Michigan beats Ohio State this week. They represent the East. Wisconsin then, in a rematch Michigan, beats them. All right, then you've got Michigan, who then would leap up in the top four. They would be taken out. Big Ten's not getting a player involved.
Jeez.
You get Alabama, who then beats Auburn, goes to the SEC championship game, beats Georgia.
They're in.
All right. Now you'd look at Alabama as in, Georgia as well, probably at three or four. And then you'd have to say, all right, what happens if Cincinnati lost in the AAC championship? That's their only loss in the championship game, non-conference champ. How far do they fall? Where are they at? And then you'd have to say Oklahoma beating Oklahoma State, which the interesting thing about that would then mean they'd play the following week in the Big 12 championship because the tie-breaking scenarios. So then you'd have Oklahoma, Oklahoma State playing 2 weeks in a row. And so let's say you have Oklahoma beat Oklahoma State, but then Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma. And so then you have the Oklahoma State Cowboys as a two-loss Big 12 champ.
Jeez.
That's where this thing could go sideways quick. And everyone's like pulling their hair out. And everyone in that 13-person committee is somewhere in hiding because they don't want to have to deal with whatever that scenario would bring you.
God,
and then there's Notre Dame, by the way.
There's Notre Dame.
Is going to mollywop Stanford this week. They're a 19-point favorite there. And then they'll be sitting there. They'll be like, well, we got one loss. I mean, someone want to. That's where Notre Dame sneaks up and I think finds a way into the playoff.
Man,
oh, it's so much fun.
I need
man.
Some Dramamine, bro. Yeah,
that is so much fun.
I felt like I was on 10-foot waves just now.
I love it, man. I think, and that's going to be the sad part when the college football playoff expansion happens. No more of this what if scenario that makes up.
It's been
good
a great
stuff.
Season. It really has. I'll say this much: every team's got a flaw. Everything's got some. Georgia seems to be the most impeccable. It's just if someone can find a way of making Stetson Bennett their quarterback. Be able to win a game and not, you know, rely on the running game and defense, then someone's got a shot. But outside of that, man, that team looks by far and away consistently the best.
You remember Stetson Cologne?
Remember that
back in the day?
Yeah, we actually used that as a bit on our set.
Did you really?
Before. Yeah, on Big Noon.
Little Stetson Cologne?
I literally went to a drugstore, bought some Stetson.
They still make it?
Straight Cowboys.
Yeah, of
that's great.
Yeah. Cowboy.
I bought it
at
Beverly
Cologne.
Hills, CVS. Hmm.
Beverly Hills is a CVS?
I think so.
Breaking
some
news,
drugstore
man.
There.
Yeah. I didn't know they still had
Don't
Stetson.
Don't they make
there.
Stetson hats, too?
Yeah.
I think so.
No, I'm being dead serious.
Do they really?
No, he's right. He's right. Not the hats that Jonas is talking about.
Yeah. Cowboy hat.
Who wears those?
Yeah, cowboy hats.
Yeah, very, very classy. Yeah.
Jonas
right
wouldn't
there.
Know about that. Jonas has never been on like a ranch or anywhere like that.
No, okay. Listen, pal. I'm in the hate 05. I'm in the hate 05, buddy.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you know
he's
what
a hater. I'm in the hate 05. I'm a hater.
Remember a preferred stock back in the day, Cologne?
Hate. Hater of the year.
That's racist.
I got to hurry up and get home so I could get some milk in the dish for Buck Nasty's mama.
We don't need no dogs.
She's thirsty.
All right. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. And that'll conclude our
Dave
breakdown.
That's Dave Chappelle, everyone.
Our breakdown. Well, didn't cancel culture come after him, too?
Yes. Yeah. They're still after him.
Nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe.
All right. Coming up next, it is a cold-hearted world, the NFL is. We will get to the very latest in that coming up for you right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now, we are going to get into a major change for one NFL team and what it actually means to other members of the organization. We'll get into that here again 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. We are brought to you here by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app and use code 2PROS. That's code 2PROS to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Sometimes you can't get to everything in the world of sports or entertainment. Good thing the guys are here to bring you in case you missed it.
And with that, we turn it over to the great Lee Delap, our executive producer, to find out what the hell is going on. Come on, Lee.
All right, you guys. Well, we got 3 weeks of all day. Only 3 weeks of AD Adrian Peterson with the Titans before he was waived yesterday.
Yeah. LeVar's happy. Yeah,
LeVar was not there. Happy.
I mean.
I am not happy. I'm just saying.
You know what's odd? Is he was averaging over like 4 yards per attempt in this past week's blowout that they were playing in. It's like he kind of was like getting better, and then they just cut him. I mean, and by the way, I don't think he was the problem, mind you.
No.
I think they were letting him go before that Social Security, kicked in.
Unbelievable. You got to take out AP.
You know what, though? He does get – I wonder if someone did him a favor because – just so people know behind the scenes, he does get an accredited season, I believe, for being active for 3 games. I believe he gets an additional year that goes towards retirement.
Which, that is significant.
Big time. Yeah. Well, he's played a long time. But, yeah, that's an additional year of benefits, health coverage, all that good stuff, which helps him down the road.
So you think maybe the Titans kept him on an extra week just to make sure he got that accredited season?
Or he got signed in general. Like, I'll be honest with you. I got one of my best friends grew up with. He was coming off of an injury, and he needed one more year to get an accredited season. But he was hurt. I mean, he really, he was trying to come back and play. It was really difficult. And so he got a tryout with, having to be a head coach that he was close with. And he was out there for a game. Then after that game, his knee couldn't hold up.
The arm.
And then he got, two additional games to get that accredited season. But the head coach did him a big-time favor.
Good for him.
Then he was a vested veteran.
Nice.
Because if you miss that fully vested, that's bad.
Yep.
That's like the whole idea of it is, if anything, at the least, if you make it to the league, make it in. Like, get fully vested.
Yep.
Because then you'll be good once it kicks in.
Wow. Bummer for AP.
No, it's not a bummer for AP.
Well, I'm just saying.
Do you think Mike Vrabel is trying to set like a tone for the way they've played? Like, I mean, they just got – it's like, I don't know. They've made a lot of roster moves, by the way. It's not my guy Golden Tate. I think he's on the expanded portion of the practice squad.
For what?
But I look at it and, I wonder if Mike Vrabel is trying to get everyone's attention by doing some of these moves or making some of these moves.
He better, because them Colts ain't playing around, man.
Yeah, I might be starting to slide towards the Indianapolis side of things, to be honest
with
you. Yeah, I feel
The Colts side.
Yeah, just maybe I'm sliding
the
over to LeVar's
side.
Yeah, Stetson. What else we got, Lee?
Those hats cost like 6 G's, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Expensive, man.
Yeah.
You guys, we got controversy in Texas youth football. The Flower Mound Rebels were just too dominant, and for that reason, they're getting booted from the playoffs. They dominated so bad they outscored all the opponents this year 199-6. The 7 and 8 year old team of 7 and 8 year olds will not be allowed to play. The director who made the decision had just gotten beaten down by the team 33-0 the week before this decision came down.
Like, I don't like. What are they?
I
supposed
mean, are
to...
all the kids legal?
Yeah.
Are they all this, of age?
This is like the 25-year-olds that play on Chinese Taipei and the Little League World Series back in the day. Like, what are we talking about here? If these kids are of age, what are they supposed to do? Play in a higher division against 14-year-olds? What are we talking about here?
They had asked the team to divide the team into two.
Why?
Because of the district and how the guidelines were for how they were practicing.
A split squad?
To draft the teams into two different separate teams.
But why?
Like, apparently, the rest of the league had gone by those guidelines.
Oh, my God. Come on, man. Like, I don't know. What are they supposed to do? I don't get it.
I understand trying to create parity or keep it competitive, but if a team is dominant, I mean, that's what sports is about. We love remembering teams of dominance. I mean, if you think about it, throughout the history of sports, you love being able to read about Friday Night Lights. You love being able to, like, if you knock off a team as dominant as that young team is, then you become legendary for one win. Like, yes. I don't get it. I remember playing Pee Wee League football, and there was a team, Freeport. They were undefeated, unscored on, were blowing everybody out. I scored on them. We scored one touchdown. That was the only touchdown ever scored on them. We beat them boys 7-0. I'll never forget that game. I just think that our society, our culture is just we are sissifying our kids, and you're wondering why they're still living at home when they're 30, 40 years old.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, okay.
Dude, think about this. No, in all seriousness, he's saying. Like, do you remember when kids used to go to college and they'd have cell phones? Like, what'd you do when you had a problem? If you had a problem, you either had to do one of two things: scrounge together some change, go wait in line at a payphone to call home and talk to your parents, or you had to figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, with the internet, with cell phones, kids just, like, they'll just, oh, I'm going to go Google. I'll go to the internet. It'll tell me how to fix this situation. Or I'll just call or text my parents or figure out. Like, there's answers at every single direction, none of which they have to figure out on their own. Like, part of life is figuring it out.
Yeah.
Like, you're not always going to have the answers. And that's the interesting thing about this, and I know it doesn't directly necessarily apply, but it's like we're penalizing a team for being dominant. I don't know. I just
figure it out. Life is about struggle, man. You're going to struggle way more than you're going to have success. And it's that in those moments of success that you enjoy the success because of all the struggle that took place.
Yeah.
Those kids will learn valuable lessons getting their asses handed to them. You know what? Let me work harder in the offseason. Let me run a little bit more. What are they doing to be this dominant? Maybe we need to do that. Instead, you're saying, let's punish those kids for their preparation and coming together and doing what they want to do. I think it just is sad.
What else we got, Lee?
You guys, it is a holiday week, and one guy gets to celebrate all week long because he turned a $50 wager into $1.1 million on a 15-leg parlay that included 8 college teams, 3 NHL, 2 NFL, 1 NBA, and the golfer to win the tour this week.
What a degenerate flunky gambler.
Yeah, he was cheating.
I like it.
He was cheating.
Literally.
Whatever it is that happened, he cheated.
He took a $50 bill and was like, all right, what else could I bet? Oh, I'll take one of those. Like, he was buying a dozen donuts for the office. Like, what are you doing, dude? Get a grip.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.